Episode 308 of Canes Cast and Shane Willis. Since last we've talked, the Canes roster looks a little different.
The Canes once again active in the summer. No one's laying around on the beach in this office.
Well, you don't want to get burned in the summer, but we will get Burnside on this podcast. Scott Burnside's going to join us, yeah.
Some people build sandcastles. Eric Tulski builds rosters.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Rosters in the sand? Is that a song from the 70s?
Maybe. We could make it one.
Maybe it'll be on Freedom Rock somewhere. All right, let's get to the big things that the Canes did. Everybody always, you know, gets super excited about free agents and what happens on July 1st, and yay, we're going to win the offseason, and then... ask Nashville.
There's no how automatics, that, people.
By the way, ask Nashville how that goes, because they won last offseason, remember?
Stinky for them.
Yeah. But I do like the moves that the Carolina Hurricanes made. Acquiring Keandre Miller from the New York Rangers and then giving him an 8-year deal to be on the blue line and be a part of, I think, one of the deepest blue lines in the National Hockey League. There's not argumentative about it. It's a fact. When you look, when you have Jacob Slavin and Jalen Chatfield, and now you add Keandre Miller to that, and you just go down the list of what Sean Walker and Shane Gostisbehere brought to the Canes, and then you add a little bit more to it. So you like what you have there. And then the Canes get the top free agent winger who was out there after, by the way, as we tell everybody, wait for July 1st to happen. Then we find out who the free agents are, because nobody from Florida left, and Mitch Marner used free agency to get his way to Vegas, where Toronto at least got something in exchange for him. And a good player in Nick Waugh, former Carolina Hurricane. But it's one of these things where the Canes had needs, and they, in my mind, checked off the box for two of three big needs that this team had in this offseason. That's how I look at what we've seen so far. What about you?
I would agree. And I think, again, I always try and temper expectations, because even though, you know, besides Florida, every fan would say the Hurricanes won free agency because they got Ehlers, they made a trade to pick up a top two defenseman in Keandre Miller. Does that mean they're etching into the Stanley Cup right now, the Carolina Hurricanes? No. You have to lace them up. You have to play the long stretch of games. But without a doubt, the Carolina Hurricanes have improved their roster. And I think when you look at free agent day, that's what you're trying to do. And the entire summer, the week before, you look at the draft, and I always tell people, you have two types of people. Someone who sits there and stares at the draft and says, this is awesome, look at the guys we got, and you're in depth of young players, and you're looking ahead 4 or 5 years. And then you have the people who look at free agent day, and they're like, I want to win now. And that's an instant impact that you have on July 1st with Keandre Miller, with Nikolai Ehlers, into this locker room, into those jerseys, ready to go on night one.
Well, a couple of things, though. I like that you can make your team better through free agency. I mean, let's take a look at what the Florida Panthers have done. But or
keep your team good.
Or via trade. Or keep your team good, which is nice. You don't want to be the team that goes crazy. And I think that the deals that the Canes signed were market deals. I don't think they went above what the marketplace says. And people look at Nick Ehlers' number at $8.5 million, but it's 6 years. He's 29 years old. He scores 20-plus every single year. He's that offensive piece that you're looking at. Hey, the Canes need somebody who scores goals. You know, who's the goal scorer? Can they add another goal scorer? Well, they've done that. On the blue line, I think that Keandre Miller, this is going to be, in my mind, when the Canes added Brady Shea from the Rangers.
Yeah.
A guy who can skate. I think Miller's a little bit more physical than Brady Shea, but there's a lot more offense to his game than what I think anybody realizes. So maybe that's allowed to flourish. And, you know, we'll see who he plays with when it's all said and done when we get to opening night.
He'll be a little more offensive here because he won't have to worry about his partner just being behind the other team's net as he did with Adam Fox for most of the season.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's truly huge to point out, that here he's not going to have to be the guy or this guy like you are with the Rangers. He just has to go out and be a guy, play his game. And we're going to talk a little bit more about these moves. Scott Burnside, former contributor to CarolinaHurricanes.com and contributor to Burnside on Hockey, .ghost.io. You trust me, you want to read it if you're a big fan of staying in the know for hockey. Follow our good friend Scott Burnside, and you can follow him on X or Twitter, whatever it's called, all over the place. He's everywhere. But I just look at the moves that the Canes made, and to me there was no panic to it, you know, where certain teams like, oh my God, we got to get this guy, or we got to do, oh, we have the Miller deal. Anybody see that one coming? Again, that's what this front office does. When I say we could see that they would go out and get a defenseman, did you see that they were going to get Keandre Miller from the Rangers, where he should be entering his prime? And Ehlers turns into, as these top names go off the board to certain places, it's kind of easier to see how the puzzle fits, Shane, which is, well, Ehlers has like four or five places he could go, but the piece probably fits better here in Carolina. And with the cap continuing to go up, more room, Canes can still make some adds if they need to.
When I look at the, I'm going to go through the top three teams, okay? So you look at Florida number one because everyone's looking at Bennett and Ekblad and Marchand. Kudos to Bill Zito in keeping them all. Bravo. You brought your cup team back again. They're going to push. They're going to contend for a 3B without a doubt. If they all stay healthy, if everything goes in the right direction, sure. Then the next player up that everyone has talked about, Mitch Marner. I don't believe, because Mitch Marner is in Vegas, that puts them ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes. Because
I don't know if it puts them ahead of the Edmonton Oilers or the Colorado Avalanche.
You didn't add anything else. You had to move some pieces. Quality. We talk about how important it is down the middle. You have moved out a guy who's become an everyday NHLer, Nick Waugh. And then you move on one of your, mainstay, when you talk about pillar defensemen, yeah, in Hague to Nashville. Like, those are pieces that move out. And sure, you bring in Mitch Marner's points and all this razzle-dazzle, but does that make you better in the playoffs? No.
And Alex Pietrangelo is done.
Done.
So I mean, they're gonna go to LTIR and get that relief.
He goes out, and you move Haig. Sure, you've brought in some goals, but you've popped a hole in the back end.
Yeah.
And what the Hurricanes did is strategic, knowing the Rangers are ho-humming over money, and we probably can't keep him. Well, we'll take a 25-year-old giant defenseman who can move. Sure. And then you get the next best free agent guy in Nikolai Ehlers, who can play fast. He carries the puck. He can score. And he kind of, once again, as we talk about all the time, can fit perfectly into a Rod Brind'Amour system.
I just like, again, the fact that there is no desperation with these moves. You needed a scoring winger. You needed to add more scoring. You added the guy when we got to July 1st, who everybody pointed to, well, that's the best guy left. And they added him to a six-year deal that I think is fair price. And then you have, as you mentioned, a 6'5" defenseman who I think sometimes, and you know this, Shane, you played with a couple of guys like this, you got to get them out of a certain market because for whatever reason. Now, I do think Mitch Marner is going to be great in Vegas, but he was great in Toronto, but there's not going to be that pressure of, you know, carrying the franchise that hasn't won and all that. He can just go and play in Vegas. We'll see what he does in the playoffs. Keandre Miller's just going to come here to Carolina and just has to play. And that's it. And I think that you and I have talked about it. You brought it up a bunch. You look at a guy like Seth Jones. Everybody said, oh, he's done. His career's over. What's Florida trading for him for? Did you watch the playoffs? He was pretty good.
To me, he was the reason they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No doubt about it. But then you add, like, just other little moves. Like, you add Mike Riley as a depth defenseman. You bring in Caden Primo as your third goaltender, a guy with experience. Like, these are all moves now. When you talk about signs or trades, they're all fits. They're not just reaching at a straw. You know, this isn't Buffalo. This isn't, you look at the bottom of the league. This isn't, San Jose is in a different spot. I think they're going to be really good, I think quicker than we thought they were going to be with some of the players they've added. But, you know, San Jose's got to get to the salary cap floor. So they're going to overpay for certain guys to get there.
Which they did.
But it's,
I just think, again, the free agent pool, when you look back at it, this isn't a shot at players, was very shallow this year. It wasn't a deep pool. And I think if you're into movement and trades like that, keep an eye on the National Hockey League early in the season.
Because
this thing might not be over through the summer as teams get to training camp, but especially out of the gates. What do teams do to move pieces? What do they get back? Because there's definitely going to be some teams that are looking, that are creeping towards full rebuild mode. Teams like a Calgary. Teams like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What do you do there? Because if number 87's name ever says, okay, I'm ready, for the franchise to be able to rebuild, I'm ready, although he still has one more year after this year. Malkin's done after this year. Letang is still there. Carlson, do they move that? Like, there's a lot of conversations out of the Pittsburgh Penguins, so keep an eye on those players and movement around the league.
But we do have to talk about other moves that the Canes made. Like, those are the two at the top. But getting Eric Robinson to stay on a four-year deal that's worth less than $2 million a season, that's a great deal for the team. It's a good deal for the player. He gets to stay here. I think that he knows how he's going to play in the system. Getting Logan Stankoven done and getting him to a deal where you don't have to worry about him and have somebody maybe come in and try to offer sheet him at the last minute. And then getting a player like Tyson Jost to stay as another depth piece. And Tyson Jost, I can't say enough good things about how professional he was for the Canes this season, bouncing back and forth between Chicago, but when he was given the opportunity to play, he knew what his role was, and he played well, played really well for what he can bring to the team. But there are a few players who aren't going to be back. Two I want to talk about, Brent Burns, Dmitry Orlov. Brent Burns is about as professional of a player as you can ask for to show young guys this is what it takes to stay in the league, to play night in, night out, what you have to do to get there. Dmitry Orlov, I, you know, depending on what circles you run, and we get to hear things from fans and from people about this player should be doing this. Another pro came in, did his job every single night you asked him to do it. Sometimes, you know, with some fanfare, sometimes, you know, some people putting him in the spotlight for, I think, not necessarily the right reasons. But those two guys, they are going to be missed. And it's not just going to be what they do on the ice, but it's off the ice, how they conduct themselves, how they carry themselves around younger players, setting that example to be, hey, this is how it is to be a pro in this league.
And that becomes the hard part with both those players, Mike, is we mention it all the time in Rod Brindamore's locker room, what he wants is culture. Both those players are two tremendously talented number one defensemen, but two really, really big pieces when it comes to leadership around your locker room and young players.
Yeah.
And you heard it in Brent Burns' words when he left and what it meant for him to become friends with Rod Brindamore and how he made him better. And Dmitry Orlov is the same way. He was a Carolina Hurricane through and through, and he battled on a nightly basis. And I think both these players will be missed. And I think that is always the hard part of the summer when you sit down and you have to think about the business and you have to think about improving your team. Those are the most difficult conversations, because if you ask Rod and you know the first words out of his mouth would be two tremendous people. And that's the first thing Rod looks at and the coaching staff looks at. This is a great person. Brent and Dmitry, both great people in and out of the locker room, and that means the most. And it transitions onto the ice the way they play, because they buy in. And obviously difficult for all our fans.
Yeah.
We love those two players, but that is also the hard part of the summer that teams have to do. You have to.
Yeah.
Because you are trying to improve, you're trying to get younger, you're trying to do certain things, and sometimes the business side just does not work.
You say that, I think that's what everybody has to take into account. The fit might be there, but the players also have to consider what's best for me, what's best for my family. Organization has to take a look at, we got younger guys coming up that we got to play. You know, how much money can we give to these players to stay here? Is that closing a door for somebody else? So I just will sum it up. Watching these players, for Orlov for the last 2 years, for Brent Burns for three, just have nothing but great things to say about both of those players and wish him the best. Wish Brent Burns the best in Colorado, where he will, He'll be fine there in Colorado. You don't have to worry about him. And Dmitry Orlov going to San Jose is going to be one of the guys who they now lean on to show younger players how to play the game. So good stuff for that.
And you think about the Avalanche, and when you think about those players, think about Nathan MacKinnon, one, who is still very, very young, but been in the league a long time. You look at Akil Makar, and I'm not saying Brent Burns is going to go in there and say, hey, kid, watch this, how we do this on the ice, because Akil Makar is elite as they come when it comes to skill. But what that young man will see and learn from Brent Burns off the ice will continue to be career-changing for Akil Makar long-term.
Yeah, absolutely. This fine podcast is brought to you by Two Design Studio, a full-service interior design firm known for creating distinctive spaces that meet your functional needs, whether you're transforming a space in your home or business, much like we are transforming spaces here at Lenovo Center. It's time to elevate your space and let Two, T-E-W, take care of you. Learn more at ElevateYourSpaceNC.com today. And with that, we elevate this podcast by bringing in our good friend, Scott Burnside. Scott, you know, there is, it seems in any sport now, but now in particular the NHL, there's not an off-season, just slow times where we're waiting for some news to trickle in. But first off, always great to get you back on the podcast. It's like having Billy Preston join the Beatles again. We appreciate that. So how have you been? And let's get the pleasantries out of the way. What does the off-season look like for Scott Burnside?
Well, it's nice. You know, you don't write, you don't call. So I'm honored that you've reached out here in the dog days of summer. I'm sure no one else is picking up their phone. So I feel honored that that you've called at this point in mid-July. But no, it's been good. I've been doing some stuff. I was at the NHL Coaches Association annual meeting in Toronto for a few days, and caught up with some people I hadn't seen in a long time there, and grinding away at lots of different stuff. But yeah, it's been an interesting offseason, and I think, you know, frankly, you know, here I'll provide the segue for you, but I think the Canes offseason, you know, probably ranks up there as one of the most interesting, I think, when you look at the changes that have been made, and maybe the, you know, the whether it's optimism or whether just the idea of what is the potential, I guess, is maybe what I'm looking for next season is really high. And, you know, it's been, you know, I think with the salary cap going up, maybe the off season, one, you know, there wasn't as many fireworks as people might have expected, but I think it bodes well for what's next for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I have to agree with you, Scott. When you look at every team in the National Hockey League and the moves and transactions that have been made, the Hurricanes the most active, and adding a couple key pieces to their lineup. I want to start with the first one. As far as Keandre Miller goes and the trade out of New York, what you've seen from Keandre, obviously, not only last season, but in his career in New York, and what he really brings to this lineup, and do you feel, and I've said this to a few people, because a change of scenery can really help a player out. I think the change of scenery for Seth Jones is exactly what I think is going to happen to a Keandre Miller in this system with Rod Brind'Amour and the core group on the back end for the Hurricanes.
It's really, you know, Shane, it's a great point. And of course, Seth Jones, you know, at a much different stage of his career than Keandre Miller is. It was so interesting when the trade happened. I went back to a time I met Keandre Miller. I was doing a piece on Alexis Lafreniere after he'd been picked first overall by the Rangers, and I met with them north of New York during pre-training camp workouts. Keandre and Alexis were staying at a mansion-like place north of the city, working out, skating, and Keandre Miller was just so, I just remember him being so thoughtful and articulate, and, you know, I really haven't had much to do with him since. And certainly, you know, at the age of 25, you know, to me, you know, what is, and it must have been a hard decision for the New York Rangers to make, right? I mean, maybe you just feel it at this stage, his evolution had hit a wall or had taken a turn where the team figured they needed to make a change. And maybe, you know, as you pointed out, the change was equally important for Keandre Miller to move on from the Rangers. But I just think about all of the assets, you know, 6'5", he can skate like the wind, he handles the puck well. you know, listen, there have been some bumps early in his career. There's no question about that. But I just think the upside is so enormous. And again, you alluded to it. What team in the NHL, if you said, if you had a reclamation project, if we can use that term, what's the team where you would want a young player to go to get a fresh start? I think you would have to put Carolina and Rod Brind'Amour and that coaching staff, that community. I think you would have to put it at the very top of your list. And my sense of listening to what Keandre Miller has said since the trade, he's really looking forward to embracing this new start. I think it's going to be a great fit. And I look at that blue line now, and again, you think about, you know, there are some unknowns, like that's just the reality, right? I mean, we don't know what Keandre Miller is going to look like in his first season with the Hurricanes, but we know he's a viable NHL player. And then you have Alexander Nikishin. Is that how you guys say it? Anyway,
Nikishin. It's Nikishin, but we've heard both.
Yeah. I just thought he showed so well being thrown right into the fire in the playoffs. So now you have two of your top six D really looking to prove themselves. And I think both have just enormous upside. And when you look at that blue line now, 1-6, boy, it's pretty impressive. And I think it's going to be a really interesting, you know, part of the Canes narrative next season, how both those young defenders fit in and what kinds of roles they are able to embrace. And my guess is, you know, they're going to be asked to do an awful lot for a team that I think once again should have lofty expectations at the start of the season.
I agree with you. And what I always like to temper with the fans, because now I run into all these fans around the arenas. We're doing our summer camps and around town, and people are like, who's going to play together?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I don't care. And we'll find out during training camp who has chemistry, who plays the offside, if it's two lefties, where that scenario falls. We still have plenty of time, everybody. Let's just be excited that Keandre Miller is wearing a Hurricanes jersey. And I don't want to overlook the fact you mentioned how difficult of a decision it would have been for the New York Rangers. But once again, when you talk about the Carolina Hurricanes targeting some team that is in trouble, and I'm not saying the Rangers were in trouble, but they knew when it comes down to salary cap and the money that Keandre Miller was going to demand, they were in a bad position. And what the Carolina Hurricanes continue to do is not get put into a bad position and have the flexibility every summer to not only get him in a trade, because they call the Rangers and like, hey, we'll take him off your hands. We know you're in a little bit of a bind. And the deal gets done, the Carolina Hurricanes winning that deal in my mind before we've even seen him on the ice. And then they still have the flexibility to go out and get the next guy, the most talented player in the free agent pool, in Nikolaj Ehlers.
I think, and you really hit on it, I think, Shane, is the, you know, it's, you know, people, you can't look at these things in a vacuum, right? I mean, you know, I go back to even the draft pick that, you know, allowed the Hurricanes to select Pyotr Kochetkov, or the pick that allows you to get Seth Jarvis. What have you, you know, the dominoes of, you know, taking on Patrick Marleau or in trading Jeff Skinner. All those things that go into all of these things. And listen, the Mikko Rantanen situation last year, listen, that was a real challenge for Eric Tulsky and the hockey ops group and the management group. It didn't turn out the way they thought. I thought the team pivoted so well from what was a disappointing turn of events, right? That wasn't how anyone expected this was going to unfold. And yet now you have a 22-year-old Logan Stankoven who is, you know, the upside again, so high for him and now locked up nicely for the future at a really nice number, given how high the cap is going to go in the next 3 or 4 years. And then to have the draft capital to turn around and to make a deal on Keandre Miller. And then also, you know, what you've done is create cap space to go out and get a Nikolaj Ehlers to help fill another hole, right? It's very, you know, there's nothing random to any of this. It's all very deliberate, and it addresses very specific parts of this team, right? And we talk about a team that's three times to the Eastern Conference Finals since Rod Brind'Amour took over as head coach. Yes, you haven't been able to take that next step and get to a final, and obviously haven't yet won a Stanley Cup. But this is a team that that I think is very direct about the moves that it's making. And I remember, you know, did we have this conversation a year ago, people wondering, oh, were the Canes going to take a step back? Were they a bubble team? Were, you know, what was going to happen to them? And yet, here they are once again, a Final Four team. So, you know, again, the expectations are consistently high in Carolina. But I think management has done a wonderful job of really identifying issues. They've you know, faced adversity in terms of things not necessarily working out the way they want. And they pivoted, I think, very well to keep themselves in a position where, I mean, if you start to list your teams in the Eastern Conference, how far down do you go to, until you get to Carolina? Like, I would have them at, you know, easily in the top three without any hesitation.
He is Scott Burnside joining us here on Canes Cast, good friend of this podcast. And I'm not asking you to be the financial advisor here, but the way that the offseason broke, Nick Ehlers shot to the top of the top forwards who were going to be available for unrestricted free agency. So, Scott, what kind of A player are the Canes getting? A guy who consistently scores 20, and you can never have enough offense in this league. But B, what kind of facilitated Ehlers saying, okay, he could have found maybe a way to stay in Winnipeg where he was comfortable. He might have known his role there to say, no, I want to go someplace else. And why and how do you see this being such a good fit here in Carolina?
Well, I think it, again, speaks to the marketplace as a whole. You know, what's it like to play in Raleigh? I had this conversation. It's not going to be a complete down the rabbit hole, but I provided some content for the LA Kings the last couple of years and had spent some time with Warren Fogle and, you know, just chatting casually and for stories. And we often talk about Raleigh because we both have connections to the market and to the team. And he consistently talks so glowingly about his time in Raleigh and about playing at Lenovo Center. And how, you know, and I, you know, this is a consistent theme now. It's one of the best barns on the circuit right now. It's the best, one of the best places to watch a hockey game anywhere in the NHL. And I think, you know, a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers, who does have lots of options, right? I mean, he is, consistent 20 goal guy. I think given the opportunities he's going to have in Carolina, I think it's fair to say it'll be a bit of a disappointment if he's not at 30, if he's not in that 70 to 75 point range, right? Not to put too much pressure on the 29-year-old, but I think that's the kind of potential we're looking at here. I think the Canes play a game that will just be so suited to the way Ehlers plays it. A lot of skill, a lot of interpretive play, a lot of, you know, latitude to do offensive things, but you know, somebody who's going to have to learn to play the full end of the game. And I think Ehlers is certainly capable of doing that. So, and I think the fact that, you know, it's Carolina's is a hockey destination, right? I mean, it's why Brent Burns ended up there and why he had such an important impact on that team during his time there. People want to come to Raleigh. They want to be in the community, and they certainly want to play for Rod Brindamore and his coaching staff. So I'm not surprised that this is how it turned out. And again, I think the more these kinds of things happen, it builds on itself. People will continue to want to be part of this organization moving forward because they're a consistent contender and they have built themselves. You know, listen, you can see teams where, you know, once Pittsburgh missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. You see teams that have, you know, I've been covering the Kings for the last couple of years, haven't won a playoff round since 2014 when they won their last Stanley Cup. So, you know, things happen to organizations where things do, you know, there's a bit of a fallow period. I think it's fair to say this Canes team is one of the few teams in the NHL where you can you look at this roster now and we talk about the young players and think, well, why wouldn't they be a contender, not just next season, but for the next 5 or 6 seasons, given the talent that they have accumulated and produced and acquired? I just see it as a kind of a perpetual thing. Now, someday it's going to run out, but right now we're really, I think, in the salad days for this team. And now the question is, how do you take that final step or two? And I think that's a good place to be in when those expectations are that high and your demands or your belief is we're that close and you can be that close every year, you know, into the future.
And I think that's the hard part, I think, for when you're writing a story or we're talking on television, in my mind, is trying to explain to the fan, because even with the great moves that have just happened, right? You add Ehlers, you add Keandre Miller. That's not the golden ticket saying, order the rings, you guys have it won. And it is such a fine line between winning and losing. But as you just mentioned, what this team has set up, they're going to be at the table every single year. This isn't a rebuild. There isn't a situation where we're going into a season where we're blowing smoke saying, oh, we're going to be good this year. We know they're going to be good. We know they're going to be at the top of the Metro and contending for the Eastern Conference. So when you look back at the playoffs and you've watched so many of them, you talk about the LA Kings, you look at what the Florida Panthers have done the past two seasons. Rod talks about how everyone's system is very, very similar. In your mind, from watching the game over the years, is it the team that is clicking on all cylinders at the right moment? Is it only focused on special teams? What do you think that one kind of caveat in is it that kind of pushes the team over the edge?
Yeah. Well, it's been so funny to watch the Florida Panthers for the last 3 years, of course, back-to-back cup wins and a trip to the final in that first year. And like, it's easy to forget that if the Pittsburgh Penguins take care of business in games, I believe it was 79-80 or 80-81 against very winnable opponents, Chicago, Columbus, Pittsburgh falters at the worst time and Florida sneaks into the eighth spot. They're down, I think, 3-1 in that series against Boston, President's Trophy winners. Brad Marchand has a breakaway at the end of regulation. You know, there are so many things along the way in that first trip to the final that could have tripped the Panthers up. And yet, it didn't happen that way. Now they're a juggernaut. Now they're back-to-back champions. And again, sort of to the parallel to Carolina, people want to go to Florida. They want to stay in Florida. And I know it's not that the tax-free thing is such a red herring to me. They want to be in Florida because that organization has built a winner and they're committed to building a winner every single year. Now they've done it differently than Carolina has. You know, the draft for them has not become as important as the acquisition of players through trades and in some ways by free agency. But to me, it's about a team that every player that comes in that door fits a specific role. And Shane, you mentioned Seth Jones. And, you know, I remember, you know, being at Seth Jones' house during his rookie season in Nashville, which seems like a million years ago. But he came in and filled a very specific role. And you might have said, geez, that was a lot to give up. And things hadn't gone all that well for him in Chicago. That hockey ops group identified him as a player that could play top 4 minutes and could be the player that we saw really play a dominant role in their winning back-to-back Stanley Cups in the second of two cups. So to me, it's about a team that identifies specific needs, does what they need to do to fill those holes, and has the utmost confidence that what they believe is right, right? They're not guessing, geez, I wonder if that player, you know, I wonder if Sam Bennett would be any good for us. Or I wonder, you move on from Tarasenko or Brandon Montour. You look at the players who left, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, after winning the first cup. They filled those holes seamlessly. And I think that's, to me, you have to have an organization that is so firm in the belief in what they're doing. And I don't know, you know, to me, it's a consistency with Rod Brindamore. And, you know, I think the transition from Don Waddell to Eric Tulsky has, you know, from my vantage point, looks very seamless. The hockey ops group continues to bring in really interesting, productive, smart players. I think of Jackson Blake and Eric Robinson, and you've got players who are going to get bigger and bigger roles with this team. It's that belief. You got to have the belief, and it's easy to stray from that, right? If things go sideways, you think about the Canes, right? I mean, there were some periods, you know, power play wasn't very good, and, you know, so things don't always go great. But if you believe that you are on the right track and you have the right people in the right positions and you've acquired the right personnel, you know, to me, that's how you build a winner. That's it. You have to have the belief and you have to have the right people in the positions to do their jobs. And I think there's a reason the Canes have been to three final four positions and, you know, since Rod Brindamore took over. And it is the belief, and this is how we're going to do it. And that at some point you are going to punch through, you're going to be in the Stanley Cup final, and you are going to win a Stanley Cup. So, you know, I think that's about it, as opposed to, you know, do you have to be tougher? You know, I'm sure the Canes fans are like, did you get steamrolled by Florida again? Yeah, you kind of did. But again, I think all those are learning lessons. And I think, you know, do you learn from those disappointments? I absolutely. I mean, if you're smart, you do. And to me, this is a smart team. So, you know, we'll see again if they get another shot at the Panthers or how it plays out next spring. But boy, this does seem to me to be like a team that really does believe in the path it's taken.
Well, Scott, one, I want to thank you for talking about the red herring of the state income tax, which somehow people are trying to make it a thing this year. Just take a look back. Florida and Sunrise used to be the retirement community. You went there to finish your career and not try to win a cup. That's kind of how that came out. Now when you win, you see that. So that being teed up for you was the most surprising move or moves this offseason, how Bill Zito and the Panthers were able to retain all three of those free agents in Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Ekblad to get them to stay in Florida and keep the band together for another run? Or was there another move that you looked at and said, that's going to be the story of the offseason?
No, I think that's definitely it. I think there's a certain... You know, I think change is good. And you think about like the change between the first cup win and the second cup this spring for the Panthers, there were some significant changes. Now, you know, they're going to have some younger players in Florida who are going to take maybe a little bit bigger bite next year. You know, I think they're, you know, I like Mackie Samuskevich. You know, for me, he's a guy that you should watch because he's going to try and earn more time. But to bring back those three veteran UFAs when it looked like it might be very difficult even to keep two of the three. I think that's the main storyline coming out of Florida. You know, I think there's it's hard to win back to back. It's almost impossible to go to three finals in a row. You know, what would it take for the Panthers to get back there again? It would take an awful lot. And sometimes, it changes good. So, you know, we'll see whether basically running it back again for the Panthers next season, you know, works out in a similar way for them. But boy, they're certainly, you know, you could never question anything that Bill Zito and his group are doing down in South Florida. And, you know, talk about the change to the hockey market. We often talk about this, and I think it's an old story now for Carolina, right? The marketplace is the marketplace in Raleigh now. It is incredible. It's a great hockey town. Florida is, you know, they have turned their narrative so quickly. And I've been there, as you guys have been there over the years, and, you know, 5,000 people and giving away tickets in the Sawgrass Mall across the street. And like it looked like a team that had no future there. And, you know, that's changed because winning changes everything. And so, you know, whatever Bill Zito touches, it seems to turn to gold or turns to Stanley Cup silver. So hard to argue with what he's done this offseason.
Well, and the biggest thing for Bill Zito, I mean, with all the moves he makes, he cuts his scouting staff in half because they have no draft picks. They don't need guys out there watching hockey games.
Well, that's, I don't know if you remember the old days back when, you know, Cliff Fletcher was the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs and his, you know, his famous comic draft schmaft. And, you know, that's sort of how the Panthers go, right? Like they, you know, they have used their draft capital to do other things. And I think last year, what, they had three homegrown players in their lineup for most of the playoffs. So, you know, it may change in the next couple of years, but you know, you build it how you need to build it. And that's the great thing. Again, I think that's, we often call this a copycat league, and I think it is in some levels. And yes, would you want to play that kind of bully boy hockey that the Panthers have played for the last 3 years? Yeah, not every team can play that way. And not every team, you know, it's not, again, not having, you have big enough players, et cetera. Do you have the players who will buy in and play that way? And it's not easy. It's not easy to play for Rod Brind'Amour because if it was easy, everyone would do it. So I do think that it really is about, you know, finding your own identity and then, you know, not necessarily, well, we have to be more like Florida. Well, no, be yourself and hope that you're yourself, that is good enough on, you know, those days in late May and early June to get you where you want to go to.
All right. I'm just very happy you guys didn't go with the LA Rams draft philosophy. We like to keep this a family podcast, but they had a different one about them picks and what you could do with them. That's for another day. He is Scott Burnside. Please follow him. Go to burnsideonhockey.ghost.io. You can find it anywhere. And by the way, you can put little dashes between Burnside and on in hockey. And you will be kept up to date with everything that's going on. All right, Scott, with that, we will talk to you somewhere down the line. Always appreciate it, my friend, and take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Have a great rest of your summer, and thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scotty.
Always good to catch up with Scott.
Amazing knowledge. Been around so long. Sees the game. He's seen drafts. He's seen free agent craziness. But the insight he can provide, obviously, to you and I and our fans is priceless.
And you and he on the same page for draft picks.
Yeah.
I'm on that page, too, if you can win, by the way.
I mean, I'm not getting any younger, Mike.
No, nor am I. In fact, I'm getting really old quickly. It's one of those things. Let's leave that out there.
Yes, I am, too.
No, you're not. Oh,
my body says different.
Well, no, you're doing things that young people should do. But your body is now slightly older, so they can't do it. Your mind is still, I'm Shane Willis, 20 goal scorer in the National Hockey League.
Watch me rip up this wave.
And your body is like, no, we're not. What's that floating in the water? Oh, that's Shane's groin. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Thank you.
that was the noise I made. While I
if that was the only noise you made, you're a tougher SOB than I give you credit for. We also need to, what a perfect way to thank Langley Federal Credit Union. Save, borrow, and spend wisely. Visit them at langleyfcu.org or visit their branch at 6308 Falls of Neuse Road to open an account today. You might want to open up an account and make sure that you have enough if you have any unplanned hospital stays in your future.
Yes, they could help.
All right, you want to jump right into the fans here? Yes. Yeah, let's do it.
Some great questions.
Oh, you know we do because it's the summertime.
Yeah, people sending us Twitter questions from the beach. We grind it out.
All right, so this is from Kaniac Chef. It's a number, a letter, and a question mark. 2C, question mark. That means the number two center for the Carolina Hurricanes. If you go back to earlier in this podcast, Shane, I referenced that Carolina checked off two of the three boxes that I had going into the offseason. Adding another defenseman, going out and adding more offense, check. But there is a question about who is going to be the second center for the Carolina Hurricanes when you look at the depth chart. Now, you have options. You can play Seth Jarvis at center. That was his job.
Someone asked me that yesterday.
That was his trade coming up. Logan Stankoven can play at center. Now you're getting into this area of you're getting smaller down the middle, but I don't care. If you can play in this league. Then there's, for me, this is the, if Jesperi Kotkaniemi is going to prove that he is a second-line center, this is the year to do it. So that's what you're looking at. Because then after that, you've got Jordan Staal, you've got Mark Jankowski, you've got other players that you can shift and play in that 3-4 or, again, I don't want to label the lines, but you can move other guys around. The question is, do you have somebody who can be a second-line center for this team? As they're constituted right now, it's a question that needs to be answered with what they have on the roster unless they go outside of it. Your thoughts on this one, Shane?
Well, I agree with you, and it's one of the unknown that everyone's going to continue to ask that question of who is that player?
Yes.
Right? Who is the guy that is going to step up and be the guy in that role? Now, I'll throw another name at you because I thought when he played, love his shot, love his release, reminds me of somebody. But he's played center before as well in Bradley Nadeau. Still young, still raw, still fresh, but yeah. When you're talking about skill and talent, this guy was picked high for a reason. Seth Jarvis was penciled to go back to junior.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
So that will be the question mark. That will be the massive spotlight in training camp to me.
Right. So I don't know if we're answering his question, which
we're
not. It's a valid question, which is,
well, we don't know the answer.
That's why. Unless there is an outside of the organization answer. But I think that the team right now, you take a look at it, they'll be content to see if they have the answer in the system right now.
Does Sidney Crosby listen to our podcast?
Stop.
Anybody?
Stop it. You already baited the hook with what you were talking about with what's going on in Pittsburgh previously.
I'm listening. Sid, are you?
It's up to them.
Thank you.
There you go.
Do it.
Okay. I can't comment on that, but yes.
Pretty sure that Twitter account would.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Chef Wolf, you're a friend of me. When's the Stanley Cup parade? Usually 2 days after the Stanley Cup is won.
I want you to take your right foot, take it off the gas, and press on the brake slightly.
No! Hammer down!
No.
Drop the hammer, Harry! But the serious note, for our friends in the media, what do you guys think about ketchup on hot dogs? I have a really good thought about it. I really do.
Is it a rule?
Well,
put ketchup on everything.
Well, I know you do.
Am I wrong for putting on a hot dog? I love it.
There's a belief.
I'm a yes.
There's a belief that if you're an adult, you shouldn't put ketchup on hot dogs.
But I'm a child.
Well,
we know this.
I think if you're a kid, like up to 10, 12, yeah, you're fine.
But I put other things on. I don't just do ketchup.
I know. There's no judgment on it.
I like it all.
I like mustard, preferably on a hot dog. If my choice is either or, I will lean mustard over ketchup.
I go both. Figured and relish.
I have no problem with it. I know people who are adamant about it, but I will give a plug for a spot in Raleigh. We're getting nothing for this. But the Roast Grill, there's no ketchup there.
Right, but you have chili.
You do have chili
as
an option.
If I go chili anywhere, there's no ketchup added.
Wow. But people can put mustard and chili on it.
I like that.
Which you do, yeah. Little tang, little spice for you, if you will.
Right. So just really determine and get your ways set up to see how long it's going to take you to get home.
There are. I'm happy I live closer to downtown than you do.
I got 5 minutes.
then there's no tapping the brakes in Shane's life. No, that's one of those food things that people get really militant about. Like Chicago, there's no ketchup on hot dogs in that city. I'm not. To me, it's not that big of a deal. That's not a deal breaker for food, as opposed to I throw this one out and everybody in south of the Mason-Dixon line loses their mind. You do not use ranch on chicken wings. It's blue cheese or nothing.
I don't really – I'll dip it in either, but I don't really use them a lot. I'm not. It's not like every wing has to have it.
Oh, every wing, little dab of blue cheese. Have to. But
I also don't like buffalo. Like, I get sauces.
Yeah. And that's fine, too. Like, if you get, like, a garlic parmesan, things like that. By the way, right now, Bill Berniston is losing his mind.
This is Bill Berniston coming to you live from the game.
We're talking about food.
It's summertime, Billy.
Stick to the topic, sports. Hashtag yum. Just saying. But that's the only one that I get kind of militant on, which is because, but again, you grow up with it. And that's, you know, nobody ever asked for ranch. I'm from the place where they're from. So nobody ever said, can I get a side of ranch? That's not a thing. But then you realize you move to other places and ranch on hot chicken is a thing, like in Nashville. All right, moving on. Zach wants to know, if you could pick three people in the organization, players, coaches, execs, to do a dinner in another country with, who is it?
This is Bill Berniston coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple. How many?
Three.
Me?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes. Because you're my pick. Jordan Martinook. He's a foodie.
That would be a tremendous trio.
Like, you wouldn't need anything else because there'd be no room for all of the food that we would order.
And it would be epic.
It would be.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the organization? Anybody else who'd be willing to pick up the check?
Thank you.
Justin Williams is a good friend to go to for dinner, I've been told.
Yeah, I mean, Depends on what kind of scene you're looking for.
Yeah, that's also true. But good food. There's a lot of...
Throw Chuck Caton in the mix. Can I bring Chuck back into
it? You can always bring Chuck back in the mix. Trip doesn't go out to eat anymore, but Trip was great to go out to dinner with.
Yeah, 100%. I'd put Billy Burns in it.
Bill is actually, I've eaten dinner in a foreign country, Canada, with Bill Burniston, and he is fantastic to go to dinner with. So, Mike Brown used to be, but then he got all health conscious on us, although he eats his steak mooing. I saw him eat a purple steak once. I'm like, come on, man. They just ran it past the stove.
If you want to get in and out like a fiddler's elbow, we'll bring Rod.
Rod Brindamore. That is correct. If you want to eat in 4 minutes... That would be the case.
Yeah.
So, but Tim Gleason for the stories, Jeff Dan, any of the coaching staff for the stories. I mean, there's a lot of good people. And as the players go,
you can take anybody.
Seriously, you can. Thank you, Zach, for that. ZL29, when are we playing golf? Well, somebody's on the shelf for the summer. Not me, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Although my elbow still hasn't healed from last summer. It's because I'm old.
Yes.
What are you most excited about so far in the work that the front office has done for next season? I think we've kind of hit it. They checked two big boxes. They brought in an offensive player who's fast, who fits. When you look at, again, games aren't played on paper, but he fits with what the Canes want to do. Maybe it opens up a top line a little bit more with a player in Nick Ehlers. And then you bring in Keandre Miller. But, again, checking off depth, making sure that if you've got to go – to a seventh defenseman or a 13th forward or 14th forward or a third goalie, they've addressed those boxes.
And you have the fourth box of like, got $10 million in cap space still hanging around if you need it.
Yeah. Corey is not a bot. Summer movie recommendations. No Hockey to Watch is always a great pod. Great guys. Excited for training camp. You know, I haven't...
I've been out of the movie loop.
So have I.
But that, I mean...
Like anything,
I haven't seen anything come out that I was like, I need to watch that.
Yeah, like Superman is getting good reviews, I guess, but I haven't gone to see it. I am on Apple TV watching Stick with Owen Wilson. It's about a pro golfer who had a meltdown, and then he finds his product. It's good. You'd like it. And if you play golf, you'll really like it.
I'm going to encourage you. This is a movie, and I'm kind of hooked back into it for several reasons. But if you've never watched a CFL football game.
Oh, the BC Lions, man.
Tune in. It's on. You can find it here on CBS Sports. If you get CBS Sports, it's either Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sometimes they show Sunday. Different. There's one game a day. But if you can catch one, I mean, she's wide open.
You were a Elks fan, formerly Eskimo?
Yes. Okay.
BC Lions. I just graduated.
Dad had season tickets to Stamps.
I gravitated to the... to the western portion of the CFL. Oh, your dad was a Stampeders fan?
Well, just when they lived in Canada. Oh, yeah, okay. There's a group of them that got tickets.
All right, fair enough. Although, it was always confusing. The Rough Riders are playing the Rough Riders.
Well, that's no more, though.
I know.
They're the Red Blacks. Also funny, because when Ottawa, every time there's like a touchdown scored, if you're in Calgary, this lady comes racing onto down the sidelines on a horse with the flag. That's what they do.
Yeah.
In Ottawa, they... chainsaw a massive piece of wood in the corner.
Yeah, they do that.
They cut the circle off.
They actually do that in Seattle? No, Portland, the Timbers for soccer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. By the way, CFL games are like college football games with the atmosphere.
And if you do play responsibly, take the over. Hamilton almost got 60 points 2 weeks ago.
And
I threw for 5 touchdowns.
And any team that's named after a beer, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, respect. That correct. Is Seth Jarvis's
big hometown game this
as well.
Week between the Blue Bombers and the Stampeders.
Western supremacy on the line?
Yeah. Okay. Stampeders are hot.
If you're into that stuff.
They're going into Winnipeg as the dog, plus 3.5. That's 2 scores for most people.
All right. Kaniac Alley. It's Kaniac and then A-L-L-Y.
Alley,
but it's like one word. Kenny Akali?
Is it a picture of a player?
It's a player. we've made our way through this. Singing notes. I don't sing. How do we solve a problem like Jesperi? If we have to keep him, what would he need to improve if we move on? Who are trade targets? Well, Shane has already said several times.
Young I'm working man the listening. Phone lines right yeah, now, stop, folks.
Stop it. Cole Harbour?
Between Pennsylvania.
Cole Harbour.
Maybe Calgary.
Cole Harbour, Nova the young Scotia.
Man there named Nazim that could play second line center.
You know, when you say what needs to improve, the simple answer is just offensively.
It's just production.
Being more dynamic.
You have to look at your number one line, which is Sebastian Aho. Your number two line cannot be far behind when it comes to goal scoring and the ability to put up numbers.
By the way, you
plain and simple. And that's not a shot. That's just reality.
No, and he'll tell you that. Everybody will tell you that around it. There's no shot there, but that's, I think also, the funny thing is, he has a good shot when he uses it.
Rockets.
Joey Nelms, are you starting to pick up on the theme of what the questions are from the fans? Could Taylor Hall be a 2C? Moves the puck well. Seems to be looking to pass more than shooting. I don't know at this point if Taylor Hall moving to center solves your 2C question.
But it's an option.
It is. And again, we talked about that.
I brought up
Jarvis and Stankoven, perhaps.
Right. I think on the wing and on the power play, Taylor Hall is more of a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also talked at length during the season how much I love how he possesses the puck to make plays, which centermen do. So the question mark would be going in, how is he inside the dot? That's another big question when you look at, you're not going to just throw somebody in there who's super offensively but never wins a draw.
Max Pierce, which player surprised the team the most during the summer development camp?
No idea.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that there's anybody.
Catch one.
No, there's nobody at summer development that you look at and say, he's making the team from development.
Yeah. It was a very young group.
Yeah. The surprise is, this isn't, let me put it to you this way, this isn't the rookie slash young prospect tournament that comes up at the end of the summer. That's where you see players stand out. This is, you're getting guys into the organization. You're doing skill work. You're not really practicing. You're teaching.
This is what it takes to be a pro.
Exactly. This is what it takes to play for the Carolina Hurricanes. Right. It's not like, in some years there's a guy, like when you have a high draft pick, I'll remember Noah Hanifin in one of these camps.
Yeah.
Those guys.
You're in the top 10.
Those guys hit the ice. You're like, he's different. He skates different. Sure. He's faster. Nothing really. And it's not saying that none of the guys who are at the development camp.
Very talented. Let's just.
Yeah.
Their future.
Oh, boy. Howie Handorf wants us to answer a question that'll take 20 minutes. Build a roster with current Canes and former Canes alumni in their prime, of course. Forward lines, four lines, two current Canes, one alumni. D lines, three pairings, one current, one alumni. Goalie rotation, 5 stars, best friends for life. Want to do this quick?
The whole team?
Yeah, he wants to build the whole team.
It's a long one.
I know.
I'm on the first line. If I'm the GM, why? You're telling me. Rod's my centerman. We play.
Yeah. Oh, that Rod's definitely on the list. I mean, former Canes who are going to be on the list. I mean, you start to look down the middle.
Center's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Stahl, Brindamore, Francis.
Stahl. Where do you play Aho?
Aho.
You put him at center or you put him in the wing?
That's the other question I always come up when people say this. Are we picking
just three forwards or are we going by position? Yeah. Howie, it's a very good question. One that if we didn't have more questions to get to, we would answer more in depth.
Yeah. Jeff O'Neill, Eric Cole, Justin Williams.
Those are your former Ray Whitney. Players. Ray Whitney. Defensively, Brett Hedekin, Tim Gleason.
Glenn Wesley.
Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesci.
In that Cam Ward.
Yep.
Goalie's probably the easier spots.
Yeah, Cam Ward, and then
yeah,
those are your two former Canes, and then Freddie Anderson.
Right.
Or Pyotr Kochetkov right now, however you want to go with that. So just a few things in there. I'm just trying to think, like, defensively, too. There's more guys who you can run down the list. Yoni Pitkinen in his prime.
Aaron Ward.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking for? All offense?
Yeah.
That is more than 20 minutes.
Mike Commodore. We'd have to have, like, a draft.
Yeah.
We're not doing
that. You could make three teams.
Not doing that. With the success, this is from, okay, it's, I'm not going to try to, just a smiley face. With the success of the whiteout in Winnipeg, should the Canes consider doing a blackout? Everybody wears black, black towels, could trademark it, the eye of the storm. All proceeds can be sent to Venmo at Shane R. Willis.
Love it.
Agree that part.
The t-shirt.
All right.
I don't disagree with this because I love the whiteout in Winnipeg. I think it's epic.
So do I.
I think they have it. You have to make it your own. Calgary has a sea of red.
Yep.
Obviously, Florida started. When I think about the Hurricanes, I think more red though than black.
But that might just be. This is gonna be a dumb question.
But I don't think the league would like a full blackout, and the goalies would hate it.
That's what I was about to ask you. As a former player, if the puck goes up to the glass and you're looking at nothing but black jerseys and black t-shirts,
I can't say yes or no because I've never seen it. I mean, the seats in Boston are dark.
But were there? I was going to say, did you ever play in a dark building where you know the puck goes up along?
I think there's a reason why there's not a lot of rinks with black seats.
Yeah, just putting that one.
But
out
But I do see the Hurricanes more of red. And when I think about this franchise, I think red, not black.
The other thing too is, again, it's Winnipeg. Like whenever I see anybody do the,
I would love to come up with something that's our own.
Yeah, that's kind
is
of what
it
I'm
red out, black out. I don't know what it is.
Is it towels? Is it something else? I don't know.
Well, towels are so playoff oriented.
I know. Well, but Winnipeg really only does the whiteout in the playoffs.
Where is the college? You don't have to give me on this one. The cowbell. Where is that? Mississippi State?
Yes. Nonstop.
That's intense.
Nonstop.
What nonstop. A horrible place to play on the road.
It is nonstop.
I liked it.
It is nonstop.
I mean, I wasn't playing. I was just watching it on TV, but I'm like, this is awesome.
A little different when you're listening to it on TV as opposed to you
were there.
Is there
a rule, no cowbells in a hockey
rink? They try to. No. You can have, like, bang sticks and those things, I believe.
Boom, boom sticks.
Yeah. Hate those, too. Thank you.
Hey.
California, Los Angeles Angels.
That was Tampa when they won the cup.
Yeah, the Thunder Sticks.
Thunder Sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, not a fan.
I sat behind. I was obviously there as a extra during that time. And there was a guy one game. This guy was an elite thunderstick clapper. I almost had to take him away from him. I'm like, stop.
Elite. All right. We just recently saw the players and owners vote on the CBA, which included an 84-game season. Would love to know how you guys feel about two more broadcasts being added in the mix in favor of it, against it. I'm for it.
Cha-ching.
Thank you.
I was going to say anything that raises the profile of the league with a hidden message. Yeah, I'm for it. And also anything that shortens the preseason, I'm for.
Is this prelude to an expansion team?
Maybe. I mean,
don't get started, people. I'm just really throwing that out.
What it is now you play your division the same amount of times.
Right.
Because there's two teams that in an 82-game schedule, you only play them three times instead of four.
Everyone should be four in your own division.
Right.
I agree with that.
Do you like that? See, I like this. There are people who say they don't care, and then there are people who say they hate it. Do you need to see the Western Conference? Do you need to play the Western Conference twice?
As home a and fan, road? Yes. I think it would be a mistake for the Carolina Hurricanes not to see Connor McDavid.
Right.
Once.
It's if you have in any league, you have superstars, you have to have them play in every city.
Yes.
The other part of it, too, it needs to be fair. And for me, when I say it needs to be fair, say that you play the Pacific Division, right, twice. You only play the Central Division once. Mm. There is an advantage there because the Central Division,
right,
or however you're looking at it, whichever division you think is the better one, you got to play those teams twice or you only yeah. – I like playing everybody – who is in the league. There's the only sport you can't do it is the NFL. But for me, if you are talking baseball, basketball, the NHL, play everybody twice, and you want to see, yes, you want to see Connor McDavid. Technical question from Michael Mace. How is it determined which side of the ice the face-off is on? Well, if it's icing now, you get to pick it.
The offensive team
gets to pick which dot they want.
Any other face-off circle? It goes to the closest dot.
Where the puck goes out of play.
When the whistle stops it.
Right. So that's an easy one there. Joe Spencer. Hey, guys. Hope you're having a great summer off season. What are your thoughts on the moves by management so far? What moves would you like to see? Asked and answered. Just wanted to get Joe Spencer's name out there because he wants us to have a good summer. Canes and Dogs, do you think Ehlers will take Natchez's spot in moving the power play puck across the zone this year? Canes did struggle at times just getting it into the offensive zone.
That's one big plus when you look at Nikolaj Ehlers, not only on the power play, but how well he carries the puck, the speed he can, and holding on to the puck to make those type of plays. So advantage, yes, with him in the lineup.
Well, this one was already found out this year. Katie Bartlett said, Aho and Natchez were the OT dynamic duo of recent history. Who joins Aho in that spot? It was Seth Jarvis.
Correct.
And it was dynamic still. So you're set.
Thank you.
That happened quite a bit. All right, that'll do it for us, Shane.
That'll do it.
You got anything you want to add?
Stay safe out there, everybody. When you think you're young, you don't beat Father Time, ever.
Thank you.